What's up, you beautiful bastards? Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is actually an update to a story we talked about yesterday around Defy Media. They, of course, made this kind of surprise announcement that they were shutting down, and that included channels like Smosh, Clever, others. And if you didn't see that coverage, I recommend watching yesterday's show. But main point, the update to the story is that the situation appears to be far worse. Yesterday, we saw Shane Dawson, who, of course, is still riding that wave of success from his last documentary series about Jake Paul, tweeting, which, by the way, Shane, you're supposed to be on break, sir. But we saw him kind of go on a tweet spree yesterday about Defy Media, tweeting, "Defy Media is and always has been an evil company taking advantage of their employees, and I'm so glad people are speaking out." Followed by, "Imagine being a YouTube network that steals all their creators' hard-earned money and then files for bankruptcy and uses the creators' money to pay their debt. Also imagine being a YouTube network slash company that threatens to sue their employees when they politely ask to leave because they feel uncomfortable in the workplace." Adding, "I've been keeping my mouth closed on this topic for a long time, but seeing so many people I love be fucked over has ripped my mouth wide open." We then saw Shane's partner and fellow creator Rylan Adams tweet, "I was forced to become a part of Defy Media's MCN, meaning that YouTube money I worked hard for filters through them. After they take a percentage of my ads, I then get paid my money. This month, I was never paid. A bank took Defy's money, which so happens to be mine that I may never see again." Adding, "I never made a Why I Left Clever video because I was being threatened by Defy's lawyers on a daily basis. Instead of taking them to court and being stuck in limbo for what could have been years, I accepted to join their MCN, which is why they were in a position to get a percentage." And we also started seeing creators like Chad Wild Clay tweeting, "Imagine receiving 421 million views between me and my wife's channels and Defy keeping all of the AdSense revenue." And so in general, this looks like a much more massive situation than just them screwing over channels that they own. We're seeing serious allegations of intimidation, non-payment, among other things. And on top of all of that, we're seeing another crazy situation where YouTube channels and their creators are being released by Defy, but then their content is being immediately hit with copyright claims from Defy. You saw these claims and screenshots coming from people like Furious Pete, Lance Stewart. I'm shooting this part kind of early in the morning, so it would not be surprising if we see more people added to this list. And so with this, to get a little insight into what the hell is actually happening, I reached out to YouTube. And what I was told there is this is actually YouTube stepping in to take care of the creators, separating the creators from Defy, and then going through a process to set up that creator to be independently monetized. And so while all these creators are seeing that all their videos are hit by copyright claims right now, what I've been told is that they are in the process of fixing all of that. And once again, I use the word fixing not because it's YouTube's fault that this is happening, but because the creators are in this situation I'm describing as a problem and YouTube's trying to fix it for them. And actually, after having recorded that part, YouTube has publicly responded saying, "All creators will be released from Defy Media MCN today. We're also working on releasing all of the claims as soon as possible," and adding, "This will just take a bit of time for technical reasons. Thanks for your patience." And so while the situation is horrible and you have all of these just creators trying to do their job thrown into this mess of a situation, I really do need to commend YouTube here for stepping in and looking out for these creators. I think often many creators on YouTube feel disconnected from YouTube itself, but seeing something like this, it's a good thing. You know how happy I am I get to talk about YouTube in a positive manner rather than just complaining and pointing out problems like I normally do? But that said, of course, this is only part of it. There's a lot to focus on, and I'm sure myself and many others will be focusing on it. Just keeping an eye out in case more ridiculous BS pops up and needs a spotlight on it. And I have a feeling there's gonna be more coming out. And then let's talk about the situation around Jim Acosta, President Trump, and I even question mentioning this story. And it's not because of the ridiculous conversation I've seen online and the guaranteed dislikes and unsubs, which I recommend that purge. But because there's part of me that just feels like this is a completely orchestrated move from President Trump, so that we're talking about this rather than talking about them losing the House, Jeff Sessions being out, being replaced by Whitaker, who of course has been critical of the Russia investigation. And that's just among the many things that we need to talk about in this very chaotic world of ours. But at the same time, it's an incredibly important story because it deals with fake news, misinformation, the intimidation and suppression of the media. If you didn't see this interaction with Jim Acosta and President Trump yesterday during a press conference, it was just one of several notable moments. Well, there's a lot happening in this video, and I recommend you watch the full source down below. For the sake of time, I kind of want to just get into the main meat of this. You had Acosta, who's from CNN, asking about the president's characterization of the caravan of immigrants as an invasion. You see Acosta ask the question, the two go back and forth. Acosta then tries to ask a follow-up question, but Trump says that's enough. An aide then approaches Acosta trying to grab the microphone. And then what follows is Donald Trump says CNN should be ashamed of itself having you work for them. Acosta says, "I don't think that's fair." Trump says, "You're a very rude person. The way you treat Huckabee is horrible." You then see this back and forth between Trump and the new reporter that has the microphone.
Go ahead, Peter.
In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either, so
I understand.
To be honest,
we then hear off mic Acosta bringing up the pipe bombs that were sent to CNN, and Trump responds.
Well, when you report fake news, when you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead.
And what followed this exchange was Sarah Huckabee Sanders announcing that they were suspending Acosta's hard pass, writing, "President Trump believes in a free press and expects and welcomes tough questions of him and his administration. We will, however, never tolerate a reporter placing his hands on a young woman just trying to do her job as a White House intern. This conduct is absolutely unacceptable." Then also adding, "It is also completely disrespectful to the reporter's colleagues not to allow them an opportunity to ask a question." But then also going on later in another tweet to say that the president took 68 questions from 35 different reporters. So based off of the footage you've already seen, you might be wondering, well, wait, what are you talking about? What hands on an intern? And so to understand this alleged incident, we have to look at a different angle, which luckily we have.
I was going to ask one of the other folks. Pardon me, ma'am.
Mr.
President, I had one other question, if I may.
So I personally watch it. I see nothing that lines up with what the press secretary said happened. And I watched it over and over, then even slowing down the footage and getting closer to see if there's something else. And once again, I see nothing that lines up with him placing his hands on a young woman. I'm open to the idea that people are maybe seeing something different depending on where their focal point is. Because when you look at where the intern's hand is, which I'm going to point out, I'm not villainizing her. She's trying to do her job. It simply looks like she tries to pull the microphone away and any contact is incidental to the point that Acosta even says, "Pardon me, ma'am." And that seems clear as day. And it wasn't just clear as day to Acosta, who tweeted, "This is a lie." You also had people there like Jeff Mason from Reuters tweeting, "I was seated next to Acosta at today's press conference and did not witness him, quote, placing his hands on the young intern," adding that it was simply that he held on to the microphone as she reached for it. You even had Ben, "I laugh about drinking liberal tears," Shapiro, tweeting in response to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, "This is not what happened. You could have banned him simply for refusing to abide by any of the normal rules of the press room. No need to state something happened that didn't." Which I will say, I commend Shapiro because he had to know that a lot of his audience would bash him for it. And if you look at those replies, oh man. But also to go even further, you even had Chuck Ross from the Daily Caller. Plenty to criticize Acosta about, but he did not, quote, place his hands on the intern. It's ridiculous for anyone to suggest he did. And then adding, "After Trump joked about Gianforte body slamming Ben Jacobs, the White House can't bust out the fainting couch now." We also saw the White House Correspondents Association issue a statement saying that it strongly objects to the Trump administration's decision to use U.S. Secret Service security credentials as a tool to punish a reporter with whom it has a difficult relationship. And adding that revoking access to the White House complex is a reaction out of line to the purported offense and is unacceptable. Also writing, "Journalists may use a range of approaches to carry out their jobs, and the WHCA does not police the tone or frequency of the questions its members ask of powerful senior government officials, including the president." And then they encourage the White House to reverse its decision. But this seems incredibly unlikely because after the backlash, Sarah Sanders tweeted, "We stand by our decision to revoke this individual's hard pass. We will not tolerate the inappropriate behavior clearly documented in this video." And one of the big things here is this tweet includes an edited video of the raw video you already saw at the beginning that many have suggested was doctored to make it appear that Acosta's movement was more aggressive than it actually was. And it appears to be the same video that was shared by someone from InfoWars. But that person defended against allegations saying, "The only editing done to this clip is that it is zoomed in. The speed has not been altered from the original clip posted by the Daily Wire." Adding in another tweet, "The clip is not doctored or sped up. As you can see from the original editing track in Sony Vegas Pro, none of the individual tracks are sped up. A track that is sped up would show wavy lines in the original track field, which it doesn't." But then you also had people sharing what appeared to be side-by-side video comparisons slowed down and at full speed. And at side-by-sides and quarter speed, there do appear to be differences. But also this has stirred up a debate that part of this could have been unintentional. And essentially, the oversimplified version of that idea is that when you have a video and you're downloading a version that was downloaded, the quality slowly gets worse and worse. You're getting less and less information. You can lose frames, which can then change how something looks. Another possibility was also mentioned by BuzzFeed News. They tweeted, "The video analysis by BuzzFeed News demonstrates what the GIF conversion process does to video. While it's technically not sped up by intent, it effectively is in practice." And they explain that video to GIF conversion cuts out frames. And they provide a 3-panel example where you see the video, a GIF at 20 frame count, 10 frames per second, and 15 frame count, 10 frames per second. And so as you can see, the fewer the frames, the faster everything moves, the more aggressive everything seems. But still, that doesn't change the fact that the press secretary didn't show the full clip, instead posting this pixelated, crappy quality version with no audio that apparently seems to be a video of a GIF of a video, wherein I've seen people describe it as Acosta doing slight judo to the intern. To which I will say, I see no slight judo. I do see mental gymnastics. But no, to me and many from across the aisle, many of who think that Jim Acosta is an asshole, have pointed out that what the press secretary is saying here is just absolutely not true. But unfortunately, we live in a time where pointing out what is very clear to your eyes and your ears when you look at the raw video, that is something that can be seen as controversial and welcoming of an immense amount of vitriol. It's incredibly concerning, it's unfortunate, and it's seeing the state of things, it is very depressing, it is very exhausting, but I also think that's why it's incredibly important to speak up and not just shut the fuck up in the face of what appears to me as pure insanity. And you know what, because that story probably stirred up some people on one side, let's jump to the other side and talk about the situation around Tucker Carlson. I'm equal opportunity, calling out bullshit should be bipartisan. Last night, 2 hours before Tucker Carlson was supposed to go live on Fox News, he got some concerning text messages. Someone was outside his home in DC, so Carlson called his wife. Carlson then says his wife locked herself in the pantry, she called 911. Carlson telling the Washington Post she had been in the kitchen alone getting ready to go to dinner and she heard pounding on the front door and screaming. Someone started throwing himself against the front door and actually cracked the front door. And so Carlson's wife, I think, assumed what a lot of people would assume, that someone was trying to burglarize their home. But it turns out that's not what was happening. It was a local Antifa group of protesters that had shown up, and even saying protesters isn't right. To me, this is a mob and it's harassment. And reportedly, this group of 20 people blocked off both ends of Carlson Street and carried signs that listed his home address. The group called Carlson a racist scumbag, demanded that he leave town. Videos of all of this were shared on Twitter by an account named Smash Racism DC. That account was also suspended by Twitter sometime after midnight. But in a now deleted tweet, the group wrote, "Tonight you're reminded that we have a voice. Tonight we remind you that you are not safe either." The group also tweeted out the addresses of Carlson's brother, also his friend Neil Patel. Smash Racism DC also shared the videos on their Facebook page where they wrote, "Fascists are vulnerable. Confront them at their homes." Although it is important to point out that on Facebook, Smash Racism DC's page is still up as of this morning. And here's the thing, I disagree with Tucker Carlson on a lot of things, but what he said in the Washington Post is true. He said, "It wasn't a protest, it was a threat. They weren't protesting anything specific that I had said. They weren't asking me to change anything. They weren't protesting a policy or advocating for legislation. They were threatening me and my family and telling me to leave my own neighborhood in the city that I grew up in." Adding, "How can you go out for dinner and leave the kids at home at this point?" And I 100% agree with that. They are literally yelling, "We will fight, we know where you sleep at night.
We know where you sleep at night."
And actually, on that note, I will say that is why I was happy to see people on the other side, people that don't like Carlson, they've been critical of Carlson, also saying this is not okay. People like Washington Post columnist Max Boot tweeting, "I think Tucker is a terrible influence on modern America, but that doesn't justify harassing him at home." And I also really appreciated Stephen Colbert's words here, where he said, "Fighting Tucker Carlson's ideas is an American right. Targeting his home and terrorizing his family is an act of monstrous cowardice. Obviously don't do this, but also take no pleasure in it happening. Feeding monsters just makes more monsters." And also, regarding Smash Racism DC still having a Facebook page, I think that's completely ludicrous. Because this isn't even the first time they've done something like this. In October, the group forced Senator Ted Cruz out of a Washington DC restaurant. Just like this time, there's video of the incident. And in the post, they literally write, "This is a message to Ted Cruz, Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump, and the rest of the racist, sexist, transphobic, and homophobic right-wing scum. You are not safe. We will find you." Let's really highlight that. You are not safe. We will find you. Then adding, "We will expose you. We will take from you the peace you have taken from so many others." And what I want to say to this group, to anyone that supports the actions we've seen in these videos and the text in these posts, is that all you're accomplishing is making yourself look like fucking crazy assholes. That's it. Congratulations in advance on this footage being used in some Republicans' campaign ad. You absolute disgusting morons. Congratulations on making the people that you oppose, that you'd like to see go away, the victim of the situation. And the last thing that I want to mention today is just this horrible news coming out of Thousand Oaks, California. Late last night, there was a shooting at Borderline Bar and Grill. It's a shooting that left 13 dead, including the shooter himself. Also, according to reports, there were at least a dozen injured. As of right now, the shooter has been identified as a 28-year-old Marine Corps veteran, but as of recording this video, there's no official motive. The situation is also still developing, so information is still coming in. And so that's why with this story, I just wanted to say that my heart goes out to all those affected. To take this opportunity, which obviously the stories are still coming out, but to highlight heroes in this tragedy. People like Sergeant Ron Helis, a man who arrived on the scene within minutes from the sheriff's department. Reportedly, he engaged in a shootout with a shooter, was shot multiple times. Another officer was able to pull him out of the line of fire, but he ended up dying at the hospital. And Ron, I think rightly so, has been hailed as a hero for engaging with this shooter in such a short time, with seemingly no hesitation. And reportedly, he was set to retire soon. We learned about the sergeant's death at an understandably emotional press conference.
"Sergeant Helis died at the... The sergeant passed away at the hospital about an hour."
And a spokesman for the sheriff's department also spoke about Helis's actions, saying, "He is absolutely a hero. He epitomized what a cop does. He was a cop's cop. When he heard the gunfire, he ran in, and no doubt saved others from being victimized. A young man who was inside the club came up to me and said, you know what? He saved additional people from being victims. That's what cops do. That's what he did." We've also seen stories come out about people like Matt Wernerstrom. He's a student at Cal State Channel Islands who reportedly picked up a bar stool and threw it through a back window to allow people to escape. And he's been credited with saving dozens. Additionally, there are reports that six off-duty officers from nearby nearby areas were at the bar during the shooting and made efforts to help victims. This reportedly including one case where the officer put himself between the shooter and bystanders in order to protect them. And kind of on that note, and I don't want to diminish the word hero, but with horrible situations, there are opportunities for people in all different places to be a small hero here and there. If you live in the area, they're currently looking for O negative blood donors. Originally, people were told to go to Lorena High School to donate blood, but in fact, so many people showed up, they had to turn people away. And this is because they just weren't prepared to handle the number of people that wanted to help. But also in the meantime, new centers for donating blood have been set up. They have it set up at the Ventura County Healthcare Agency, also the Best Western Thousand Oaks Inn. And I'll include those addresses down below in case you're local. We also saw the mayor of Thousand Oaks asking people to donate via the Ventura County Community Foundation, vccf.org. And there they've set up specific funds for the families of the victims. And that is where I'm going to end today's show. It is on the most horrible story of the day, but it is on the heroes and the potential to help. And that's not just a place that I want to end it. I feel like it's a place I need to end it, to make me feel like it's not all bad and crazy, even though those things are usually the biggest and the loudest. I need hope, because if you're out there and you're feeling like you're drowning in a sea of just stupid and horrible, you're not alone. But if we also try to focus and maybe be some of the good, maybe we can survive this thing together. I don't know, but that is where I'm going to end today's show. Of course, while I also just appreciate your time, if you'd like to be a part of the conversation, I'd love to hear from you, whether it be this last story, the first one, anything in between in those comments down below. Also, if you like today's show, the way that I try and jump into the news, support the show with a little like. Hit that like button, since especially because some of the earlier stories are gonna bring a lot of hate today. Also, if you're new here and you wanna be a part of this kind of daily conversation about the world, hit that subscribe button. Also, if you missed it and you need more of my dumb face in your face, you can click or tap right here to watch the last two videos on this channel. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love your faces. Love who you got while you got them. And I'll see you tomorrow.